Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is our observance of the life and times of Jim Moseley. What an amazing life. Over the episodes so far, we've had Geneva Hagen, Tim Peckley, Alan Greenfield, we still have Bob Zanotti, and Jerry Clark. Now, have you seen this too, Jerry, that efforts are made over the years to commercialize UFOs in a sense, to have a successful publication or something, but it always fails after a few years?
Yes, I think that with UFOs, one problem is that I think even people out there in the consuming public understand that this is just going to go on ambiguously without resolution. And it's just more and more of the same. I mean, you can read all kinds of sightings and encounters which are very strange and puzzling and intriguing, but it just doesn't go anywhere. And not too many people have. I think we do, those of us who are speaking here, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But, you know, a tolerance over a long period of time for ambiguity. And saucers just don't offer anything beyond that. And it just isn't something that anybody but maybe some unusual people like us and Jim Moseley and other people who are listening to this show have. And, you know, I worked for Fate magazine for many years, as you know, and Fate was able to offer a whole bunch of different things to people. UFOs, ghosts, ESP, archaeological mysteries, cryptozoology, all these things. So it was reaching as many different fringe audiences as there were.
But I assume also with Fate magazine, you'd vary your coverage depending on what was most popular.
Exactly.
Right.
So we were able to tap a number of audiences of people interested in fringe subjects. But a single focus like UFOs, as you guys well know, is financially iffy at best.
I might be a hopeless romantic, and I'm going to imply that maybe Jim was in his own way. Today, of course, everything is industry, commercialization. I had the feeling that being a business success was not the main thing with Jim, because we have to recall that he got excited about this when UFOs were big and fresh and new and exciting. Science fiction was literally science fiction. Nobody'd been to the moon. There hadn't been a space shot. There were no satellites. And so this was wide open to speculation. It was extremely exciting. And to go back to this theme of a diversion that Jim got interested in, I have a feeling that, sure, I mean, he certainly wanted to break even, but I don't think he was in it to make a killing.
He wanted, though, Bob, to see growth, not contraction.
Right.
He wanted to know that even if he isn't rolling in money, the business is growing, it's expanding, it's sustaining itself. So once you see the contraction, interest in UFOs wanes, circulation goes down, that was the big killer for him.
Well, you knew him more from the business point of view, too. You were much closer to him in that respect. I just wanted to pick up on something that Jerry said, a thought that came to me. You know, he kept it going to the end. I subscribed. I was one of the people who subscribed to Saucer Smear over the years, and we had correspondence. We talked on the phone, and I had the feeling from Jim that there was a little bit of nostalgia towards the end of it. I think he somehow realized himself that, as Jerry just said, this whole thing will never resolve. Okay, never say never. Something could happen tomorrow. Very dramatic. We don't know. But this has been going on for so long, it's hard to believe that somehow the verdict is going to be pronounced. The jury is going to come back and say, we have a verdict, and this is it. I think that Jim was doing it sort of out of a routine, a ritual. He just wanted to keep it going, maybe a slight element of reminiscence of better days. I think there may have been an element of that that kept Jim Moseley in ufology to the end.
I think it was the world that he knew. He was comfortable in that world.
That's it, Jerry, exactly what I mean. It was familiar territory. He was getting on in age. And things weren't looking too good. We've heard before, you know, financially things were going down a little bit. And, of course, when you're feeling down, you're depressed, you turn to things that are familiar, might cheer you up. And he kept with his old typewriter. I'm sure that Jim would have been totally capable of mastering a simple computer. But it was this nostalgia, the old days. He brought back the memories of this with his probably still the same old typewriter and the same old method and the same old thing. I don't know. I see a nostalgic side, a sensitive side to Jim Moseley, which maybe he didn't like to expose in public.
In the last few years, I noticed he went back to the old and beloved UFO cases and hashed them over again, kind of like someone rereading a favorite book from your youth. And I think you're absolutely right that there was this growing element of nostalgia.
But also, I think part of the issue is a comfort level, comfort zone. He had his way of typing, and he had put out magazines that way, no longer with that absolute special justification, just typing his magazine for many, many years. And he did not want to have or learn a computer or even a more sophisticated typewriter. He didn't have an answering machine on his phone, didn't use the telephone company's answering machine service, didn't even have caller ID.
No fax, nothing.
That's right. He didn't want any of that. It was all the comfort level. Here's everything he's familiar with. He doesn't feel the need to learn anything new. As long as he had the same outlet to express his point of view, it was fine. Now, for example, you could get Saucer Smear online. You could buy an online version. But
right.
All Jim did was, in a sense, license the product, the publication, to somebody else to distribute.
Yeah. In fact, I was just looking at the online version this morning. But one thing that strikes me, too, speaking of the Internet and UFOs and Jim, was that when he died, Gene, you would put this thing online on UFO updates that Jim had died, and there were like only about two responses. One of them was mine. And I just wondered if the new generation of people interested in UFOs and active in the UFO scene, Jim is just sort of a fading or forgotten figure.
I don't know about that, because even though the UFO updates mailing list didn't have much response, I saw a lot of action on Twitter, especially on Facebook. We've got a lot of responses in our forums from people who remember Jim, a surprising number of people who actually had been very close to Jim over the years, talked to him almost constantly on the phone, had late-night conversations.
Including one of the Paracast's most ardent skeptics. Lance Moody, who, much to my surprise, he posted that he had been in constant contact with Jim for a number of years, monthly, which he said 20 years. That really surprised me.
Well, I'm glad. I had the sense that Jim actually had many friendships that had endured, and some of which were relatively recent. So I'm glad to hear that. It kind of bothered me. I thought there'd be more of a discussion on updates than there was.
I think once you knew
people
Jim,
might still be processing it. Jim was such a he just had such a presence in the field. Coming from someone that's a little younger than you guys, I've only really been involved in this field to the extent that I have for the past 20 years. But I remember, early on encountering his name in various contexts about cases and hearing, people describing Mosley. And to me, who, now I'm considered kind of an old timer in the field after 20 years, to me, he had almost like a mythic kind of presence. And it was always that irascible sort of, as someone pointed out earlier, that au contrarian kind of persona that I always really appreciated. And as I said before, I think this field needs more of that challenging, au contrarian type energy to keep things moving forward, to break up these static systems of belief that we're seeing just running roughshod over this whole thing.
Chris, I have to disagree with you there. I don't think there's any absence of conflict and disagreement and debate within the subject. There always has been. Because ufology, it's just the phenomenon itself offers so many possibilities for interpretation. In fact, I eventually came to conclude that maybe there's more than one thing going on, and that's why there's so many arguments that go on, because people are focused on one thing and not another.
Earlier in the show, we heard from Geneva Hagen. We heard from Alan Greenfield. We heard from Tim Beckley as we progress with this episode. We have Bob Zanotti and Jerry Clark still with us to remember Jim Mosley and his impact on the UFO field with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Jerry Clark and Chris O'Brien, I suppose, having a little discussion, Chris.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jerry. Obviously, this field is filled with viewpoints, some, very divergent from one another. But what separated Mosley out, in my mind, from everybody else, it was always done with a twinkle in the eye and that kind of that elbow in the ribs type energy. People in this field are too darn serious. And Jim was one of those few kind of wonderful, lighter you know, just niggling, kind of get under your skin kind of characters. In some sense, she never really knew if he really believed what he was saying or if he was just taking that contrarian viewpoint. That is what I'm describing that this field needs more of.
I certainly agree that Jim is irascible, was irascible. I think that's a very good adjective. I don't agree with the premise that Jim was needed in the field because Jim was highly intelligent without being intellectually oriented. There are plenty of intellectually oriented people in the field who, in my experience, have perfectly sound senses of humor, senses of the absurd, and who disagree about all kinds of things. I think that when you talk about Jim, it's hard to pinpoint, like, he did this to advance our understanding. I don't think that he really did that, and I don't think that was really his role. I think he just enjoyed being a character on the scene who liked to go with whatever interested him. And if it riled other people up, that was fine. But I don't think that Jim was like some kind of intellectual figure, somebody who was really pushing the ball forward. I think he was just a guy who got involved in this and put in what he wanted to put in and had a lot of fun with it.
The point, I think, Jerry, is well taken, because rarely did he get terribly emotional about the subject of UFOs or flying saucers, as we used to call them. He was very tolerant, to use that word again, I've used it before. He was open. You could talk to him. He didn't get riled easily. You never knew. It was a bit inscrutable. You never know what he thought of you or what he was really thinking, but he was always a gentleman. That word has come up, too. And something, Jerry, you said in the last segment, I think, is worth focusing on for a moment. You and Gene didn't agree 100% on it, but you were talking about, let's say, the passing parade of ufological personalities and characters. And I agree with you there. I think it's very much like in show business. You know, most of the kids today, sounds pejorative, maybe it is, they know Brad Pitt and all the other modern stars.
Brad Pitt's a kid, yes. What is he, 49 yeah, or something like that?
Exactly. No, I mean the younger generation of moviegoers. But you mention Rock Hudson or you mention Doris Day, and they look at you like you're from another planet. So I'm afraid that Jim is probably, we're all eventually going to go this way. It's like pews in a church, you know. We start at the back and we keep moving up and moving up and moving up. And Jim was just in the last pew right in the front. He's gone. And we are probably in the next one or thereafter.
Yep.
And we will be forgotten, and the next one will come along. So I think that maybe is also another reason why he was philosophical. I think he realized that this was an ephemeral thing. It was not going to last forever. He had his moment of glory. He enjoyed it. He had his moment in the sun on the stage, and he knew it eventually was going to end. And I think towards the very end of his life, as has been suggested here at the very beginning of the show, Geneva brought this up in that letter, which I thought was very touching. I sincerely believe that he was starting to get spiritual. You know, it can happen. Maybe it kicked in. And I think that's what happened. He was correlating everything that he had been exposed to for all of these many years, and suddenly lying there, realizing he was on his way out, maybe something snapped, something gelled. And there was a moment of enlightenment. He used that word in his letter, or it was mentioned. I have a moment of enlightenment. So I think that would be a nice ending to the life of Jim Moseley.
And I agree, Bob. And Jerry, obviously, I agree that, you know, in the final analysis, Jim Moseley is an interesting footnote in the history of this field. What I was trying to bring out was the attitude. We really need more people that are more tricksterish, I think, in the field. I think we need people that play both sides of the fence and do so with confidence. There's too much of a seriousness, I think, that pervades the field. There's not enough playfulness. If I was going to bring out a point, that would be it.
I think you're absolutely right. I'm more of a casual observer of the scene than you are. You guys are more directly involved. I'm an observer, and I've sensed this myself, Chris. It's true. It's so bloody deadly serious, everything that you hear. People, I'm afraid part of the seriousness is largely due to some people or many people taking themselves too seriously. Not only the subject, but it's become a bit egocentric. We had, of course, the weirdos back in the 50s who made wild claims. We all know those classic stories. But it was like a sideshow at a circus, and I think most people treated it that way. They told a good story, and people appreciated it. There was no television and not much. People enjoy telling stories and everything. But today, it's all scientized. It's also serious. And I'm sorry to say, it is so commercialized. It's become, I refer to it as the UFO industry. All of the offbeat, the paranormal, so much of it has become so commercialized. And I think that the whole spark, the enthusiasm, the excitement that surrounded it years ago has gone. And we said this also in that show, Gene, you remember, Chris, we did, thank God we talked about it, you and I, Gene.
Right.
And you said, you know, this would be a good idea back in May, and it's in the archives here on the Paracast. That would really be worthwhile because Jim was on that show. He's appeared before and after as well. But I think so much of his memories, he was so excited during that show. I remember it. I was so surprised how bright he was. And he enjoyed it. He enjoyed going back in the past, those glorious moments. And they'll simply never come again. It's like all of us say as we get older, things just ain't the way they used to be. And that's, in many cases, literally true.
Well, in this particular case, one of the things you have here is someone who's willing to, number one, listen, to consider a lot of different points of view, not to take people too seriously, you know, to be entertained by our imperfections. And that's the problem. With Jim gone, with Saucer Smear gone, and yes, he had some associate editors who may want to continue the publication, but it will never be the same.
No, it will never be the same.
Good.
It happens everywhere. When you lose the animals, the driving force, you know, as they used to say in the commercials, there are many imitators, but only the original will be the same. You know, there's no replacement for Jim. There never will be. He was a personality. We're personalities. Everyone in the field is a personality. And, you know, I just was rather ready to pose the rhetorical question, quo vadis, you know, where are we going? Who's going to pick up where Jim left off?
Well,
Gene,
Bob,
Chris, you're doing it. Others on the show are doing it. But how long will this feu sacré continue to burn?
Well, Bob, I think that you've got it exactly when you say that Jim was a personality, and that's how he'll be remembered. And I don't think he has to be replaced.
Let's just stop it there because we have to split to the next segment. Then we'll continue that discussion, Jerry. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We just had a terrible storm in the east, but we are all still in the eye of the perfect storm. We have the most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and what about the presidential election? This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. eFoods Direct is preparing for the shortages, and you had better do the same. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. You know that eFoods is the best tasting and safest food on the planet. We all need a bunch of storable and usable food from eFoods Direct. None of us wants to be standing in a bread line trading our freedom for food. Anyone who doesn't take control of their uncertain future has to be just a little bit nuts. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Starting Thursday, November 22nd at midnight through Monday, November 26th, you can save 25 to 30% on the Black Friday specials. Give the gift of food security. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
In more ways than one, it's going to be a November to remember. Going on now, and just in time for the holidays, Emergency Essentials offers a huge Mountain House sale only at BePrepared.com. All Mountain House cans are 20 to 32% off. For example, a can of Mountain House Chili Mac, regularly $25.49, is now only $17.24. Scrambled eggs with bacon, usually $31.89, now only $21.56. And save 26% on a three-day emergency kit. Or save $123 on a one-month supply of freeze-dried and dehydrated foods. Gift shoppers, check out the Katadyn Vario water filter at 26% off, or get special pricing on the Gerber Suspension Multi-Tool and the Volcano Stove Collapsible Cooking Combo. For details, call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and Emergency Essentials low price guarantee. But hurry, the November to Remember sale ends November 30th. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or beprepared.com.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We continue to look at the life and times of Jim Moseley with two of his friends still remaining with us. Earlier, we had Geneva Hagen, Tim Beckley, Alan Greenfield. Now we have Bob Zanotti and Jerry Clark. Jerry, you were about to start something, a discussion about Jim and his impact. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Jim is irreplaceable, and I don't think that that means that we have to find somebody to replace him, because I don't think that what he was doing was that essential. It was interesting because it was Jim, and it was Jim's personality, and it was Jim's way of doing things, and that was all it had to be. It didn't have to have any larger significance. It was clearly what he was doing was interesting enough so that a lot of people paid attention to him. A lot of people wanted to be his friends, wanted to be around him. In that sense, he was successful. He was successful at being Jim Moseley, and that's all he needed to be.
You're really hitting it, Jerry. You and I are really on the same frequency here, because I remember in broadcasting, we've had many discussions, and I used to do some lecturing at college level about communications and broadcasting personalities was one subject that always came up. You've just made a very important point, not only for ufological personalities, but for everybody. In this world, you know, especially in broadcasting, you'll understand this and appreciate it, Gene. There are so many people who imitate, you know, we got imitators and clones of other people. But in this life, in this world, no matter whether it's UFOs or broadcasting or cooking, there is only one person that each and every one of us can possibly be, and that is ourselves. And I think you've hit it there, Jerry. That is one of the magic secrets of Jim. Like Arthur Godfrey was once asked, you know, this personality, probably nobody knows him anymore except people in our generation. Laid back, he played the ukulele on CBS television, radio. He was a real personality.
A huge personality.
Forgotten now, unfortunately. Another radio ham, too.
And yeah, Burpee Chiefs.
Yeah, and
I even remember Arthur Godfrey.
Well, he was once asked in an interview, Arthur, I think in those days you were more formal, Mr. Godfrey, to what do you attribute your enormous popularity? And he said, I myself. And that is what Jim did. You made a great point, Jerry. It just clicked when you said that. That's the point. Among all of these factors, that is one of the major points that Jim Moseley, and not only Jim, but all the other people who stand out and will be remembered in the history books of ufology and other paranormal or offbeat subjects, that's exactly the point. They were themselves, they were individual characters that were memorable.
Okay, well,
and that's
how about
set
this?
To the side from so many of the people you hear today, you hear one, you hear them all.
Well, Bob, how many other people currently in the field have perpetrated hoaxes and then came forward and said, ha, got you, and then were taken seriously, you know, from then on out? I mean, Jim Moseley is a standalone character in that regard.
Well, he and Gray Barker were great at it. In fact, I was listening to the story of this this man in black outside of Jack Robinson's apartment there, and the story came to me, an anecdote that Augie Roberts told me that it was played on Augie. A lot of hoaxes were played on poor old Augie. Anyway, basically, he and Gray Barker were in Fort Lee at the apartment up there near the George Washington Bridge, and Augie was sitting there. And I'll give you the short version of it. Basically, Jim and Gray decided to bring in a strange figure. Now, Augie was sitting there watching television. It was all arranged. A strange figure dressed in black, note bene, came down and sat in the chair next to Augie. And Augie took sort of a double take, wondered what happened, looked around, and then it was arranged in such a way that this guy went in or went out a door and disappeared. Gray and Jim had this all arranged. Jim came in with a gun saying, what's going on here? I'm after, you know. And it only came out later that the whole thing had been staged. So these guys were great hoaxers. And I wonder how many of their great hoaxes went to the grave with them. I don't think we heard any deathbed confessions about some of those, all of those hoaxes anyway.
Maybe some sort of, you know, a little package of true confessions might surface at some point in the near future. One can only wonder.
I sometimes wonder about the origin of the West Virginia monster. And the one who was the first one on that story was Gray Barker.
You mean Flatwoods?
Flatwoods, yeah.
Well there was an external event. It was not Gray Barker's hoax.
Yeah, that
an
was
external event that is very singular and does not resemble other events. So
you don't think
we'll
he could have been involved in any way?
I don't think so. This was very early in Gray Barker's career. By the same token, when we talk about Albert Bender, the guy who said that he was visited by three men in black originally or ostensibly because he knew too much about flying saucers, then I think Gray Barker was very serious about what he wrote and then started to look with amusement on the subject.
Yeah, I think that Gray started out seriously from all available evidence. In the early years, he did some actual field investigation, and then I think that it kind of all fell apart in due course. But I think that the Flatwood thing really happened, and Bender did tell this story, however much Gray exaggerated and exploited it. There was some precipitating event. But I think that the hoaxes that I wonder about are the hoaxes that the phone hoaxes that John Keel describes in the Mothman Prophecies, where he's out on the road in West Virginia and Ohio investigating MIB and monsters and UFOs, and he's getting these strange phone calls. I just wonder if Barker and Moseley's voice prints aren't on those phone calls.
I really don't think so, because I think that if Jim had done that, I think he would have told one of us. He would have told me, would have told Beckley, would have told somebody of his acquaintance. He didn't hide things about his life. Once he began to admit everything, once he decided to let it all hang out, there was no secret of that sort. And you have to look back at John Keel, and you wonder if John Keel maybe didn't embellish a bit. Is that possible?
Yeah, is that possible? Yes, that seems reasonable, yes.
Gene, can I throw a question to you? The word Wanacue, that Wanacue Reservoir flap back in the mid-60s in my neck of the woods in North Jersey. Augie Roberts and I investigated that, but apparently you and Jim beat us to it. You have to clarify that because you didn't really go into detail what happened.
Well, it was a very cold night. I remember it was very cold. And several of us who work with Jim at Saucer News went out there to look things over and maybe talk to a few people. I don't think we necessarily learned anything new or special from that visit. But the key thing about it is that it was cold. That's all I remember. Today, all I remember is the fact that I was freezing. We were atop this reservoir. It was very cold. I didn't take a jacket that was warm enough. I was shivering. I was saying, I've had enough of this. Let's get back to the car.
That's exactly what Augie Roberts and I went through. It was bitter cold. We were going through a real cold snap there. I think the temperatures were in the teens or even less, and it was really... But I think at that time when we went, we had even the cooperation of the local police. They brought a patrol car with a radar on it. I don't know how they were going to look for flying saucers with a radar, but it was an interesting story. And I was not totally unaware that you and Jim had been there. That's a new one.
Well, I don't think it was a very significant event. It was just like, you know, kind of a joke. Jim says, hey, let's go out there and let's investigate UFOs. Isn't that funny? Isn't that fun? Ha ha. This was when he was taking it even less seriously than he might have taken the studies of UFOs later on. I don't think he fancied himself as a UFO researcher. Maybe he did early on. Early on when he was involved in the first iteration of Saucer News, before really getting into the fake feuds with Gray Barker, he had taken a trip around the country to interview personalities involved in UFO research. He spent a lot of his own time, his own money, doing that. And you could say, well, he was just a rich kid who had nothing better to do, so why not chase after flying saucers? That was true, but he definitely had a serious interest in the subject. He took very detailed notes of that, and some of which you probably see in the book, Shockingly Close to the Truth. We have Jerry Clark, Bob Zanotti. Earlier we had Geneva Hagen and Tim Beckley and Alan Greenfield. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
When natural disasters strike and the water supply is shut off, you won't panic because you have a CWR emergency water filter. CWR Environmental has been supplying emergency water filters worldwide for over 25 years. The difference? CWR emergency water filters are portable, easy to set up, and exceptional at removing bacteria, parasites, sediment, and many harmful contaminants, including chlorine and harmful microorganisms. Plus, they are NSF certified to assure performance. CWR emergency water filters can produce thousands of gallons of safe drinking water from any water source and come with a 5-year warranty and money-back guarantee. For a limited time, the filters are specially priced with free shipping. Call now. 800-444-3563. That's 800-444-3563. Or go to CWRSurvival.com. That's CWRSurvival.com. CWR Emergency Water Filters. Drinking water you can trust for when you need it most. CWRSurvival.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV.
Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one, for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
I had tried everything. I'd cut back the amount of food I was eating. I was lifting weights and jogging, but nothing was working. My body was literally starving for minerals and trace elements as well as key vitamins. And as soon as I had that, I immediately could eat half of what I was eating previously and be satisfied. Now, there are hundreds of great products at InfoWarsTeam.com, but I want to point out the three that have helped me lose 37 pounds in just 2 months. Products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, and Rebound. When I started taking the Tangy Tangerine and other products every day, I lost more than 37 pounds in just 2 months. Now that's results. I want to challenge my listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and to order just three of their products, and you will see the changes in the way you look, feel, and in your appetite almost immediately. Start your journey to health and wellness today. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We observe the life and times of Jim Moseley, the court jester of ufology. In fact, I think for many years he quoted John Keel as saying, you are a boil on the you-know-what of ufology.
Jim was a lot more fun than John Keel, though.
Oh, John Keel used to write me these wacky, wacky letters, though. Really funny, wacky letters in those days. Nothing you'd take seriously, just for his amusement, I guess. It was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I don't have them.
You know, I have to be careful. This is a gray area that maybe is better left unsaid, but it has been said, it's on the record before. We all know it. Jim enjoyed a good drink, sometimes more than one. I think he spent a lot of the day with a glass in his hand, and I don't want to give the wrong impression. He was always coherent and very reasonable. He never got violent or anything. But, you know, just speculating about this, I wonder to what extent his fascination with ufology and some of the zany things he did might not have been promoted to some extent by the grape or the grain.
Or it may be that he was just bored a lot of the time, and that was.
Well, I think the two go hand in hand, really. I think that's just it. I mean, how do you fill a day? Today, you can get on a chat room, you can be on the internet, you can, you know, do all kinds of stuff. But in those days, you really had to be, you had to improvise. And I think he did a great job. He had a lot of money on his hands at the one time. He had a lot of money, and he had a lot of time. And it was a wonderful German expression for it, Zeitvertreibung. It was just killing time. The other thing that probably got him going in all of this is that he wanted to be in the where the action was. And the action in the early days of ufology was right there. I mean, it was exciting. All kinds of speculation. It was not scientific or pseudoscientific the way it is today. It was open. People were allowed to speak their minds and have exercised their imagination and fantasies. And it was very exciting for an intelligent guy like Jim. It was very creative. It exercised his mind. He could have some notoriety. I think there are all kinds of reasons why he was in it. And I would say that that pretty well would sum up at least a superficial view.
In those early days, there was this great sense of wonder about everything. You know, over time, it gave way to frustration, boredom, and the realization that this wasn't going to have a resolution, at least in the lifetimes of any of us. And by that time, that didn't deter Jim, because by that time, that was his world. He didn't know any other world. And to some extent, that's true of all of us who've stuck around all this time. But it was a lot more fun in those days. And I think you can say that without being sentimental or nostalgic. It really was fun. It was wide open. And Jim was in the thick of it. And that's one reason we're still talking about it.
Well, I think a lot of us would not be talking about it if it wasn't for people like Jim to keep the subject alive. And as I said earlier in the show, when I asked Jim about the hoaxes and the fake feuds, he said, I wanted to keep the saucers alive because interest was waning and it kept moving in cycles. And when the cycle kind of goes to the low end of things, well, the only way to keep the interest up is to get some activity going. If you had to generate the activity, gin it up. Of course, you sometimes wonder if some of the cable TV networks, the news networks, don't do that. When
well,
news
the,
is kind
I don't
of,
know about the news networks, but these crappy cable TV pseudo-documentaries are filling that function now dubiously.
Oh, I think some people could say that some of the controversies that come up at certain cable news networks also are designed to gin things up, just to get ratings.
I was thinking specific about UFOs, though.
Sure.
But yes, certainly that's true as a general proposition.
Absolutely. And Jim Moseley was the guy who kept it running. And after Jim has passed from the scene, which he now has, you have to wonder, where does the field go and how much we owe our continuing interest in it to someone like him?
Well, I suppose someone should keep the sacred fire burning. And in due respect and homage to those early pioneers, and I would certainly would not hesitate to call Jim a flying saucer, a ufological pioneer. He was certainly in the thick and thin of it when it was a great developing, breaking story. He was there. He's endured the decades. And I think he deserves his place in the Ufological Hall of Fame. Like so many others, including other members, deceased members now, of that so-called New York Circle, the Dominic Lucchesis and the Jack Robinsons and the Augie Roberts. And I think we should keep them alive because it's like the old story, you know, why do we study history or why do we keep history? Well, it must be recorded. And these personalities made their contribution, and somewhere along the line, the subject will become interesting again. It will be taken up again by others, maybe with a different take, a different view, a different philosophy, and they need to go back and find out how what people were saying about this in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. And I think that in by itself and in homage to these personalities.
Yeah, I'm moving it along because we have about 3.5 minutes left. You know, Jerry, as the historian, looking at the subject the way it is now and the way it was then, do you think part of the problem today in the UFO field is that we haven't looked to the past? It's like we keep starting the same thing over and over again with the same theories, the same ideas.
That's an excellent point, and it's very frustrating because young guys come up with hot new ideas, and we old guys say, look, we already been through that one. It didn't go anywhere. And then you get denounced for being a geezer, as someone called me on an unfriendly blog recently. And you know, it's very frustrating, and that happens because there's just a lack of discernible progress, and of course, there's very little historical memory, and it gets very frustrating. It's just like this endless recycling, and there's progress, but it's really incremental.
You know, you just raised something here, which is what is the historical memory of the UFO field, and Jim Moseley was very much that because he lived through all of it.
Right. Right, exactly.
And not having Jim around, well, hopefully we'll find a way to get some of his publications online. As some of you know, there are a couple of sites already have arisen to recognize James Moseley. As a matter of fact, I found jimmoseley.com. Nobody ever took that name, that domain. So I got jimmoseley.com. I'm hoping to get material from different people, get a little help with the web design, so we can put together a collection of, shall we say, the selected works of Jim Moseley. Now, one of the things Jim had said not long before he died is that there are still some 1,500 unsold copies of the book he wrote with Carl Flock called Shockingly Close to the Truth, Confessions of a Grave-Robbing Ufologist. Don't ask me how I remember that title. I mentioned briefly in it, and my ego will mention that. But the thing is here, we have that book, which is an interesting record of the UFO field. They only sold a few thousand. I guess if you go to Amazon and get a copy, you'll still be able to get one. Of course, the royalties aren't going to go anywhere at this point, maybe to Jim's daughter. But the point is here, this is an interesting work to know about the subculture, not just about your favorite UFO sightings, not the 10,000th version of what Roswell is, about Kenneth Arnold, about the UFOs over Washington 1952, about all around the nation, the contacts, the abductions, all about that, but about the people who came and went in the UFO field. And a lot of that is contained in Shockingly Close to the Truth. So that's Jim Moseley's lingering work that you can still buy. And maybe there's a hope we'll get some of his final material over at jimmoseley.com or some other site.
Sounds like you have a project, Gene.
I'm maybe giving myself a job. No, I don't really know if I want to do that. I'd rather have volunteers help me with this task. It's not something I want to do it myself. Jerry Clark, you had that book reprinted in a new edition called
Unexplained, the third edition. It's considerably expanded from the second edition, so it's like practically a new book.
You're keeping on. Bob Zanotti, of course, is maintaining a huge historical record of the 60s. We'll get some more of his audio in the near future. Chris O'Brien has OurStrangePlanet.com, and I have this. You can find more of us on theparacast.com. On Twitter, we're known as The Paracast. Special thank you to Geneva Hagen and Alan Greenfield and Tim Beckley, who were with us earlier. To Bob Zanotti, Jerry Clark, thanks for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Thanks for making this program possible, Gene. It's a precious document.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. This has been fun. Just fun to talk about, Jim.
Yeah, this is Jim Moseley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.